Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's Thursday, March 26th. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here, as usual, with Jim Healy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. This is the last Thursday of the month.
Yes.
Whoosh.
March.
To March.
Yeah. How long? What is it? That's a full-length month, but it did seem to fly by.
Felt like a February.
Yeah, it did. We have come to the end of it. This is the last morning show for...
For this month.
Yeah. For us.
Forever?
No. For the Thursday crew. Well, Tuesday is the 31st. So the Tuesday morning show people will be here doing the Tuesday morning show in the month of March.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But it's the last one for us.
Too early in the morning to figure that out.
Okay. It's membership drive time here at 88.5 KRFY. And I speaking only for myself, I'm a little loopy. I've been putting in a lot of hours here this week, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's why we're not alone this morning.
That's right.
We are not alone.
Joining us this morning are two board members from the Panada Theater. Charlotte Solly, the vice chair, and Sean Baim, the chairman of the board, are both here. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy spring.
Happy spring. Happy last Thursday of the month.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for reminding us of that.
Yes, but not the last morning show of the month.
No.
Which we clearly understand.
Ever.
Yes. It was as clear as mud. Okay. Let's do the weather as we always do. It's a beautiful day right now.
Did you pedal?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
It's currently about 35 degrees outside, but feels warmer than that because it's a beautiful sunny day. And the high today is 46, mostly clear tonight, mostly sunny tomorrow, and the high is up to 54.
Ooh,
and on Saturday, partly sunny, and the high up to 56 degrees. And then on Sunday, a slight chance of rain, about 20% chance of rain on Sunday, and a high of 52, and continuing to cool down and get rainier again next week. Let's see. I'm going to see if I can see as far as ahead as April. April would be a chance of rain and snow on Wednesday. How about that? That's coming up. But at least for the next couple days, it looks like more of this very beautiful blue sky kind of weather.
I bet you can't guess what I did yesterday in the garage.
Okay.
Bad guess. I plugged in the batteries to our lawnmower, our electric lawnmower.
Ooh.
Our lawn is going to need to be mowed.
There are patches in my lawn too. Yeah, it's about time.
So, and I figure I've got 2 days before the rain hits, and I'm going to have charged batteries.
So you're going to mow the lawn in the month of March. How about that?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Duh. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I am.
Okay.
And so let spring begin.
Big things happening in Sandpoint.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to, let's see, let's talk a little bit about the membership drive that's currently underway. For one thing, tonight, this
ta-da!
Is very exciting.
Ta-da!
You're back, Jim. You're going to be here. You're going to be sitting right there. And I'm not going to be here.
God willing and the creek don't rise.
Scott McLongstreet and Bob Aldrich will be here. And I believe our...
I thought it was Terry Owens, Mr. Nobody.
I think he's coming tomorrow. I think he's out of town. Had some personal
business. I brought him a magazine he wanted.
You'll see him.
Okay.
You'll see him.
Okay.
He might be listening right now. Terry, come on down. Jim's got a mag
for you. Absolutely. And Bob and Scott. Wonderful.
And Scott. And expect a drop-in from Paul Kent from Sandpoint High School, the student host of CPN3.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're on from 5 to 7?
That's right. And you're supposed to raise a ton of money. And a couple other things that you're supposed to do, Jim. You're supposed to come up with a new jingle for KRFY.
Say what?
You know,
silence.
A jingle.
Silence descends.
Well, you can put this one on Scott, I suppose. But yeah, you know, come up with a nice little KRFY song.
Well, Scott is Americana. Bob is blues. Mm-hmm. They can do it.
Yeah, they can do it. I think on Monday, Hannah Combs wrote a poem for us.
Oh, that Hannah.
I know. That'll be that jingle. On Tuesday, the events crew sang a song. And yesterday, Jatiel Lund also came down and played and sang a song on his guitar.
Can you make the bar a little bit lower for us? Like showing up? By the way, our phone number, you can call in right now, 208-265-2992. And someone will pick up the phone and take all the vital information.
I think it's going to be you, Jim. Yeah, 208-265-2992.
But I already made a donation.
No, I know. But if we have... There are people who listen to this radio station who say that they tuned in because of me, but I know that they actually, the reason they keep listening is because of you.
When I'm here.
When you're here. So if somebody actually wants to talk to you on the phone, this is a great chance to do it. You could call the radio station, make a donation, and the person who will answer the phone is Jim. He's going to run across the hall, pick up the phone, and take your information and have a chat.
Speaking of two people who do make a donation every year, they live in Virginia.
Aha.
And my sister and brother-in-law, and every Thursday my sister sends me the weather report for Washington, D.C. because they have the magic of Alexa. And so weather, 57 now, high of 80.
Okay.
Expected.
80?
Yep, this afternoon. Get this. Sunny with cherry blossoms downtown near peak bloom. If we're going to see the cherry blossoms, we better fly out this afternoon.
Wow.
I think we should all go.
Yeah, maybe we can get who? The Panda and KRFY to combine and fly us out there.
Yes, so. Get those donations coming in quick.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We have flights to book.
Mm-hmm. We got flights to book, 208-265-2992. Call in the donations, and we'll take pictures of the cherry blossoms for you.
Let's see. So speaking of flights, Jim.
Yes?
You're going to be gone for the next 2 weeks?
No, I will not be gone
The
next 2 weeks.
Tell us why.
I was supposed to. Well, we're going to go to the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Island, as well as the other islands in Hawaii, are underwater practically. They are getting... deluged.
Yeah.
And figured that, if I'm going to go down there, I want to be outdoors.
Yes.
I want, and I can read a book indoors here. And so I figure we canceled. And also, we didn't feel like fighting through airport terminals, TSA, lack of personnel, plus ICE folks. So we're going to stay home here and then figure out when we can go somewhere, sometime or another.
Yeah,
you have me for 2 weeks.
I'm so glad.
Oh, sure.
I haven't seen any information about how it is in Spokane right now, our closest airport.
I have heard that it's not much.
Have
you
too
guys
bad.
Heard anything?
Yeah, I flew last week and it was fine.
Okay, cool.
You weren't waiting Hawaii? For 6 hours.
Hawaii? Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was just wondering how the rain was. It's still raining down there.
No.
Okay, good.
Okay. Well, let's see. What else can we talk about? Anything other important business?
March Madness.
Sure.
Are you mad?
I am. I'm doing pretty well. I filled out a men's tournament bracket in on paper. I really did. And you filled out a women's tournament bracket in your head.
Yep. And did you... God forbid that there's room up there for that. Uh-huh. Did you pick Florida to lose?
No, I had them in the final four. So that
oops.
Not yeah exactly. Oops, but at least I didn't have them winning. That would be that would be very bad.
Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make talk. Mm-hmm. Panda talk with Sean and Charlotte.
Charlotte Solly is vice chair and Sean Boehm, chairman of the board of the Panada Theater Incorporated, which is a nonprofit enterprise in the organization that runs, of course, the beautiful historic Panada Theater on First Avenue in
it
downtown
is beautiful
Sandpoint. Yeah.
And historic.
Which is not just a historic building, but an operating venue for music, the performing arts, and motion pictures. And I suppose anything else.
Correct. Yeah. We're quite an organization.
Let's see. Well, it's been a very busy time for the Panada lately.
It has.
But we should start by, I guess, throwing out some basic information. And if anyone, first of all, how do people find out what's coming up at the Panada?
The best way to do it is go to panada.org.
Okay.
We have our full schedule up there. We have some great things coming up. LPORT has an event coming up.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Midsummer Ooh. Night's Dream. Yeah, panada.org is the best spot for that. You can buy tickets through that. You can find out all the information. There's information on staff, board members, bylaws, all that you'd want to know about the Panada on a website. It's amazing.
Coming up tonight, I see, is the Wild and Scenic Film Festival from the Friends of Saskatchewan Peaks Wilderness.
Correct. A great organization, and we're super happy to have them use the theater for this.
Yeah. And this is a big event for them. A lot of people usually turn, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a number of years, and they usually get a pretty good turnout, I think.
Yeah, we do. We're excited to have them there.
Cool. Well, that's tonight. Let's see, coming up this weekend. Oh,
that's sold out.
No luck on Corv Lund. He's sold out. Okay. That's Saturday night. Well, good, congratulations on a sellout, at least.
Yeah, we've had a couple lately. It's been really nice. The Angels Over Sandpoint Follies was a two-night sellout. So
sure. Let's see. Anything else coming up you want to highlight? We could talk about. You know, actually next week I think we're talking to Tim Bangle from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, as far as programming off the top of my head, I know we're having an interesting thing. Honey Pearl Productions is doing a 1776 play over the July 4th holiday.
That's right.
In honor of the 250th anniversary.
Cool. Well, that's a big one coming up, and then there's lots going on, of course, in the 3 months between now and then, 3 or 4 months between now and then. Well, let's see. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Okay. The Panada Theater is a 501c3 nonprofit and it has the difficult task of maintaining one of the most historic buildings, architectural landmarks of Sandpoint, and at the same time running it as a theater. And it's not an easy job. I don't envy you that task.
It's the best paying job a volunteer could have.
Yeah, you know,
the board are all volunteer mm-hmm. board.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago now. It wasn't last week or anything like that. But a couple weeks ago, the Panada was in the newspaper.
Yes,
a couple multiple. Articles. Yeah, and the Reader and the Bee. I know that, and it was a busy board meeting, I think, at the beginning of, or a busy, yeah, monthly meeting at the beginning of this month.
It was, yeah. Our March meeting was spirited, to say the least.
From your perspective, you want to, I guess, summarize how that meeting went? We can read in the paper, you know, what the story was, but how was it for you?
Well, you know, I found it interesting because anybody that's ever gone to the Panada board meetings, it's usually, you know, a lot of sitting space, a lot of spots to sit. There's 3 to 5 people there. It's usually this usual suspects. They ask questions. We go back and forth on stuff. We're really transparent on budgets, financials, what's coming up. People can ask us questions. This was a little different than that. Mm-hmm. We had a group of people, I would say, approximately 100 plus there. We were sort of surprised by the attendance. You know, I wouldn't say that we aren't happy to have that kind of attendance. The spirit of the attendance took us by surprise, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People were, I think this was kind of in response to, originally maybe it appeared on social media or something like that, but there was a...
Yeah, there was a thought that in a conversation that happened, there was a premise that the Panada Theater was going to restrict access to local groups,
mm-hmm.
which is categorically false. That is not the case. All you have to do is look at our calendar and you can see we're predominantly scheduled with nonprofits or with local groups, I should say, for profits and nonprofits. December, our biggest month of the year, we have the entire month is booked with nonprofit local groups, for-profit local groups. We have one show that's a Panda Presents. It's on a Sunday. So I feel like I've been on the board for 2.5, almost 3 years in June. I was lucky enough to be on there with Jim Healy, who I tutored under on how to handle things. Still learning always and trying to do better. I just find it interesting because I find there's a disconnect between community expectations and the reality of where the Panda is at currently. What the Panda can do for the community financially, schedule-wise, you name it, there is a disconnect in that. And I think the disconnect is lack of participation actively in the Panda by some community members who are vocal without all the facts. I don't disrespect anybody in the community for being Panda passionate. I am, obviously. I've been on the board. I put a ton of time into this place for free. Charlotte does as well. And I've lived in this community for 18 years. And, you know, I came to this place because I wanted a slower life. I raised my daughter here with my wife. And to sit in a room and be booed at and yelled at by a group of people, it took me back a little bit. You know, it took me or sat me back a little bit is what's going on here with the Panda? What aren't we communicating clearly that there's this disconnect? You know, as a volunteer group that puts a lot of time in for the love of the Panda for nothing in return but that, it just took us back as an entire group. And the whole board had to sort of take a step back.
I'd also say that it was a bit of a shocker when everybody turned up for the meeting. Everybody had, you know, things they wanted to say. The sad part for me was that 90% of those people left when we started our meeting, when we wanted to tell them what we are working on, the things that we're doing for the good of the theatre, the restoration programs that we're working hard to raise money for. Everybody had got, not everybody, but a lot of people had gone at that point. It seemed to be that everybody wanted to tell us their opinion, but we did not really get a choice to or a chance to redirect where we were coming from. So that was disappointing. I would like to harness the energy that we had from that meeting. And I would hope that people would listen to what we're doing and work with us. If we work together as a community, we'd be unstoppable. But we've got to come together and meet in a space where we're all working for the good of the Panada. It's a unique non-profit. Having the responsibility to maintain that building, to make sure that we're keeping it there for future generations, is a great cost. We do not, you know, the money we make from our shows doesn't even cover our operational costs. We rely heavily on donations. We rely heavily on people being involved and volunteering at the theatre. So I welcome anybody in the community. Come to our meetings. Come, be part of the theatre. But stay. Help us. Listen to what we're saying as well. And then, as I said, we'd be unstoppable. We need the community to really step up and help us. It is a difficult, difficult prospect running the Panada Theatre and maintaining that building.
Okay, given the meeting earlier this month, where does the board and the staff at the Panada go from what occurred?
Yeah, so this is step two, probably, of engaging the public. You know, we were appreciative of the reader and the B for letting us put our words in there as well. We have formed an arts committee, an ad hoc committee that's going to be a standing committee. I invited every local arts group to be a part of it, to where the Panada sits down, board members sit down with the arts community, and we come up with solutions together. We understand that there's pressure on these groups to keep their businesses afloat or nonprofits afloat and make money on their shows. They have to see the other side of that as well, which is our side. We have this building to keep in place, and that's one of the things that we're focused on. Some things we've done in the Doug Jones projection booth, we have actually got a functional bathroom in there for the first time, according to Doug, since the 70s, that bathroom's actually worked in the projection booth.
So it's been plugged up since 1970?
It's basically just been filled with trash since 1970, yeah.
Somebody flush it, please.
We couldn't flush it. We've redone the staff bathroom. We're about to most likely enter into contract for an expansion of the women's bathroom space. But other things that are happening, if you walk between the Panada and Zero Point and look at the south wall of the building, down the alley there, basically we're running a delamination process right now where the wall is starting to separate. The finish on the wall is starting to come off the historic building, which presents an issue for us with water intrusion into the historic plaster on the inside of the building. We redid the inside north wall with a grant from IHT that was a $100,000 project that looks beautiful. Greg Marston did that work. We've done new HVAC, and a lot of this stuff was possible thanks to our Ting partnership with matching funds from Ting, who was put together with Chris Bessler and Kerry Sakamoto, who did that in honor of, you know, Eric Darstadt, her father, who was a cherished member of the community. So when the community, to Charlotte's point, when the community gets together and we all can sit down at a table and talk about what's going on honestly with each other, I think we can achieve all these goals and everybody can get what they want. Coming in, you know, being mad, saying your part, and then walking out of the building doesn't really serve the Panada. And it doesn't serve, basically that's it. It doesn't serve the Panada. And if the Panada does not exist, what do we lose? We lose, you know, Sandpoint's living room, as it's called. We lose a place that my daughter danced at, Charlotte's daughter danced at. Many kids through generations have been there, these local groups that get to use it. It's very important. So in my entire time in this town, more than ever, and I've talked to former board members as well, it's important that we get together and come together like the mothers did in 1985 to save the theater. It's that time again, and I've said it for a while, but I don't think people fully understand where the building's at this point and what we need to do.
So what are your expectations of the April board meeting?
I would hope it's a very positive event. I hope people come, and I hope everybody in the community has had time to reflect a little bit on what happened in March. I hope they come and they have positive solutions at how we could work together. We are instituting a part of the meeting where everybody can stand up for an amount of time, similar to other, you know, city council meetings, can express their point of view, and that we can take that on board and we can work together. None of us want to go through the meeting that we had again in March. I'm sure the community were frustrated about it. All of us on the board, it was a thump in the stomach. It really was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't want that again. So I hope it's a very positive meeting. I hope we can look moving forwards. People understand the plight of the theatre. The theatre costs us approximately $1,150 a day to keep the doors open. It is significant. It is significant. We are supporting a lot of these non-profit shows, all for profit. When people are renting the building, we cover, basically may cover some costs. We're very reliant on hoping that we make money from concessions. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Some of these shows, we're taking a significant hit on putting mm-hmm. them up there. Obviously, the theatre is not open 7 days a week, as any other theatre isn't. You know, theatres have dark days. So we have to make sure that we have a business model that make sure that we try to be financially stable. That is part of our mission statement, that we are, you know, good stewards for the building, and that we look after that. So hopefully we all work together. People understand our difficulties, our plights, what we need to achieve. We understand that they also, you know, need something from the theatre, and we can try and meet in the middle. There's going to have to be middle ground from both sides, and that is why we've got to get to.
And what's the date in April of the?
It will be the first Thursday in April.
First, second?
Wait, and the meeting will be at 5 p.m., so it would be Thursday the 2nd.
April 2nd?
5 p.m. in the Little Theater.
Okay, yeah. The word is out.
The word is out.
Show up.
And we welcome people to come. We really do.
Okay.
But be kind to us. You can to us. We're volunteers. Six of us that put a lot of time and effort in here. We've got full-time jobs as well. We're coming here after a day's work. We're happy to hear positive solutions and suggestions, but none of us want to be booed at.
We're talking to Sean Boehm and Charlotte Solly from the Panada Theater, both of them board members, and talking about a significant month or couple months here at the Panada Theater. The tension at that board meeting, I guess, sprung up after, I don't want to get into any kind of, he said, she said, any kind of thing, but it sounded to me, if I could broadly characterize kind of the criticism that people were lobbing at the board at that board meeting, was that the Panada was taking what was becoming maybe too fiscally conservative, or was going to start restricting the number of dates available to the non-local community in the interest of generating more revenue to help the Panada's bottom line, because for all the reasons that we've been talking about, that the Panada does need some money. I guess where's the truth in that sentiment, and or is there truth in that sentiment that there are changes coming to kind of the operations of the Panada that are going to have an effect on the local people who take the stage, not just the people who come in and watch the shows?
Yeah, well, what's happening behind the scenes at the Panada is Heather White, our new executive director, is very skilled in business. And this is no disrespect for prior administrations, prior executive directors or anything, but the Panada has pretty much no historical financial data that we can rely on for what shows make, what concessions make in a consistent basis that we could base any kind of budget off of. The Panada has existed purely through donations and the love of the community. We're trying to put a business structure around that we can go forward with some kind of plan that makes sense, that we can actually come up with rental rates that make sense for the Panada and the community together, as opposed to just throwing it a dart at the board. I mean, the last, just an example, we had a 17-day rental there by a great organization. They put on a wonderful show. The Panada ended up negative $3,300 on that run. So as a business and as a place that has $1 million plus in restoration efforts that need to happen, like, that doesn't work. And what my fear is the board chair and a lot of the board members fear is that we're going to lose the Panada on some level. There's development pressure in this town. If the Panada becomes insolvent financially, where do we stand as an organization? Who's coming in to write that check to pull us out of that? That's the place we're at right now. The costs have risen dramatically. Anybody in this community knows that. The price of housing is through the roof. Wages are through the roof. Our staff is wonderful. They work for a lot less than they deserve. We're lucky to have a wonderful volunteer base who keep us open. But this conversation has to happen. It's time for real discussion between the Panada and the community. And I know the community will step up, and I understand getting upset and wanting to come in and, someone's got to be the bad guy. Heather's taking a lot of heat right now, but changes have to happen. And the changes, what I want to get out to the community, these changes are for the Panada to be there for another 100 years. Next year is a centennial. And the board and the staff is committed to making sure that this theater stays in place, so the tough conversations have to happen. But we need to sit down, to Charlotte's point, as a group together.
I'd also say we're searching out grants, donations, donors. We're working tirelessly at that. That general, it's dried up somewhat over the last few years. One of the problems that can, present is that some of the big organizations require you to look fiscally stable or improving before they will invest in you. You can send a letter of intent in, and then they will send a team to your organization to go through your books. If you're flat or going down and they are not seeing that you are financially stable, they will not support you. They will not give you the big donations that we are going to require to do what we need to do to keep that building, the premier arts performing centre of Sandpoint, which is what we all want. It is the linchpin of the downtown Sandpoint area. We want to keep that. But to get those donations, we have to show that we're being good stewards, that we are managing our business well, and that, you know, we're not just sort of limping along from a donation to a donation. People will not invest in that with us. These foundations are not interested in that. We went to Boise and met with the Murdoch Foundation. They were pretty clear on what had to occur.
Yeah, and the Murdoch Foundation, which is a group we'd love to get affiliated with, and we are seeking grants from them, they donate tens of millions of dollars to through the Pacific Northwest to different organizations. And the gentleman we met with, we had an hour with him, which is rare to get that kind of time with this group, was straight out. If your financials are not in an upward trajectory, they are have no interest in investing in failing organizations. Now, I'm not saying the Panda is a failing organization, but if you looked at our financials based on shows and individual income, it really doesn't pencil out without some major donations coming in and major grants. This community's very generous, and we get a lot of money through donations every year. We took in, I think, $23,000 in the last couple of weeks of December, which was amazing. But, you know, we're looking at hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars needed. So we need these big groups to become part of our team. And we have to turn the financial picture around. And Heather's really focused on that. The board has tasked her with that. So she's making some tough decisions, which makes her not popular with people who don't want to hear that news. But we're willing to sit down and have an honest conversation with everybody. But it's to Charlotte's earlier point, it has to be constructive. It has to be interactive. And we both sides have to be able to talk to each other. And I've seen it happen in this community before. We can meet in the middle. That's how this place works. Everybody comes together in a time of need. And if you have a love for the Panada, show up at the board meeting.
Yeah.
There's a saying that I hear that I like a lot. I don't embrace problems. I embrace solutions. That's where the board's at right now. You can come and tell us all the things that you think are wrong. Believe me, we know what they are. But we need solutions, too. There's only six of us on the board. There's three in the staff, or four in the staff. And, you know, it's tough to get everything right all the time. We need help.
Mm. Well, you're listening to the KRFY Morning Show here. And the voices you're listening to are Sean Boehm, Chairman of the Board of Directors of the, or Board of Trustees of the Panada Theater, and Charlotte Solly. She's Vice Chair on that same board. I'm Jack Peterson, here with Jim Healy on the KRFY Morning Show.
Should we take a music break?
That's a fine idea, Jim.
And this is a song. This is a song that I think applies to a lot of the organizations here in town.
Yeah.
Particularly, this is during fundraising time here at the radio station. You can call 208-265-2992 with a donation, or just call and I'll pick up the phone and say hello. Beatles with their song Money.
Good choice.
Fortuitous, bet. Jim.
Absolutely.
Fortuitous. Yeah.
Let it be spread around. Here are the Beatles.
John, Paul, George, Ringo, the Beatles.
And Jim.
And Jim is here.
And nobody called. Lonesome Jim.
I know. I even checked to make sure we got a dial tone. And you'd think, considering the conversation, somebody would have called up just to speak their mind. But we got no calls during that
musical break.
Okay,
well.
Okay. Pressure's on tonight, I guess, Jim. 208-265-2992 is the phone number. And it is actually membership drive time. But we don't want to devote, it's kind of a light membership drive, as it always is, because we don't like to interrupt our regular programming a great deal with a lot of asking for people for contributions. We hope that by delivering stimulating and locally relevant content, you can see the value in an organization like KRFY, which is itself a 501c3 organization that relies for the greater part of its operating expenses on your donations. We thank all the people who've called in so far this week, and we hope that you, listening in your car right now, As soon as you get to your destination, pull over before you go in. I bet you have time. Give Jim a call at 208-265-2992.
Well, one thing I want to say about what we're doing with fundraising, I'm sure at the Panada too, it's a chance to celebrate the organizations, you know, all the good that the organization does, that the community would be a lot less if we weren't here. And I think it's important to recognize the value of the value of the arts in general.
Yeah. Totally.
And then these particular organizations like KRFY, like the Panada, that I think, Sean, you echoed it. There's an aspect of us that's a business, that it'd be great if we had sugar daddies. And I remember when I was on Yellowstone Public Radio and we'd do fundraising and I would throw Ted Turner was in our listening area. I'd say, Ted, step up to the plate. And with one fell swoop, you could take our fundraising off the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it's not that we enjoy fundraising, but it gives us a chance to talk about what we do in the community.
Yeah.
You know, what the Panada does and what the community would be like without it.
I think the Panada, everybody would agree, we enrich the community massively. We want to be an area for local groups, but we also want to be able to bring in shows, professional groups as well. People want variety. People want to be able to see movies. They want to be able to see professional music, bands, local stuff, everything. And we have to embrace all of that. We can't just be one side of the fence or the other. It's everything. We need a blend. We need a culturally rich program that taps into everybody. And our donors are amazing. I mean, we've painted a slightly negative picture this morning, and that's not really the case fully. We have people who donate time, effort. I can think of one particular individual who has donated considerable amount of his company's time to upgrade all our computer system. He's worked with us tirelessly to do that, and I hope that he will be a good connection going forwards. And he is just one example. There are people all over our community, our volunteers, who come tirelessly making popcorn, selling concessions, cleaning the theatre. We could not exist without them, and we value them considerably. And that's what we need to harness. Harness these people together, work together, let us enrich the community with all the different shows that we need.
Well, a show like Cor Blund this weekend. We've talked a little bit about the Scotchman's Wild and Scenic Film Festival. That's tonight. Your next show is Cor Blund, and that's a Panada Presents show. It's already sold out. You don't need to move any more tickets for that. A show like that, what does that support? I mean, you don't have to give me exact figures, but like, what kind of support for the organization does a show like that generate?
Panada Present Events, which Cor Blund is, which is shows that the Panada puts up the money to the artists. We have to front the guarantee. Cor Blund gets a certain amount of money. I'm not exactly sure of the deal. There's ticket splits involved. There's all sorts of stuff involved, but he's guaranteed a certain amount of money. The community has to come to these shows, and this one they did. Profit off of that helps fill those gaps in funding, helps us keep pricing low for local organizations. It offsets that. So our calendar has to reflect these kind of shows so that the local groups, the LPORTs, the POACs, the Allegro Dance Group, there's other ones, Charlotte Knows Them All, these people who are valued partners and valued members of our community, these shows have to be part of our scheduling, and they have to make money for us to offset these other costs.
It has to be a blend. We have to have that without having these shows that bring us in that higher ticket amount. We have nothing. As we just said, we had a show, we lost, $3,300 on it. We can't do that as our business model all year. We've got to have a mix. And if we can work together as a community, we can have that. I think one thing I see as a very interesting conundrum is we have a lot, and this is excellent, of non-profits and for-profit local groups. We have our dance studios, we have our theatre performing arts, we have music. We have, you know, a big variety. If you look at a weekend, a week like Christmas, basically there's three good weekends that we can book that theatre. There's 10 groups plus.
Yeah.
How do we choose that? Because it's very easy for a group to say, well, I've always had the second week, but is that fair? How do the community, how do these local groups work with us so that we can be fair to everybody? We can offer access to all so that it isn't just, well, I've always had it, I should get it. There are more groups than there are weekends often available. And there's often it's put back on the panader, well, I can't get what I want. But that's because a different nonprofit has got what they want. How do we work together so we're all fair? And once again, it's middle ground. It's working together. How do we get a good variety of programming where everybody's happy and all of the groups get access to the theater?
Well, one of the things I do want to say is besides the arts, the Panada supports fly fishermen. The Panada supports, like tonight, the Friends of Scotchman's Peak. It supports the archers, different segments of the community.
Definitely.
Yeah. Besides the arts, I don't know how I would put, maybe there is the art of archery, the art
the outdoors
of
community.
The outdoors community that without the Panada, yeah. Where would they go to have their, which, you know, you mentioned earlier that this is their chance to bring in money for their organization, and how do you match their needs and the Panada needs?
And it's adding that, you know, the person who might come and see the Scotchman's Peak movie or film or presentation tonight might not really be interested so much in the local dance show. We have to cater to everybody. We're a community. Everybody should have their access to their niche thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure our program is varied and reaches to everybody. And we're really trying hard to do that. But as I said, there's a lot of people wanting a lot of dates. And that's, you know, it's balancing that and making sure we get that right mix. And we're very aware of it. We're very aware of it. And we work really hard. Bring us solutions, help us work out what works for everybody, and we will embrace that. We're all ears.
You can see why Charlotte's on the board. She's really the brain. She's really the brains of the operation.
Passion.
And the passion.
I am passionate about it. I'm very passionate about it. I have seen my daughter dance on that stage. I go in that theater, and sometimes I'm in there on my own, and I look at it, and it is beautiful.
And it's magical.
It is magical, Jim. And I know you know what I mean, because you have had that same emotion. And I am, you know, 100% committed to keeping that magic. But it has to be done in a way that we are making it available to all, and that we are being good financial stewards for the theatre, for our community, and also that we can maintain that building.
When you have an event, we talked about the Corp Lund event, that helps a lot. When you have an event like, say, the event tonight, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, does the Panada benefit from that? Financially, sure. Are you guys already, you've rented the theater out, and is that the end of your take, or do you get a benefit if the show sells more tickets?
Yeah, as far as ticket sales, generally on a rental, and this would be more of a question for Heather White, who knows the specifics of all this stuff, the board doesn't necessarily get involved in the day-to-day operations of the theater, which is something else people don't know.
Yeah,
we're not in there pulling the levers of the executive director does that. Generally on a rental, though, we just get the rental money, and then we hope we have a beer-drinking crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And people are very hungry for popcorn because we make money on concessions. But the undefined thing that I find is a lot of times, you know, to Jim's point, the outdoors community that maybe aren't into arts or are into arts, some people, it's the only exposure they get to the Panada. Mm-hmm. And they walk inside and they see the space. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people walk in and look up and just say, wow, like they don't know what's in there. A young lady who works with me, I brought her in there. We were doing a little work in there. And she's 20 years old, born and raised in Sandpoint, had never been inside the Panada. Mm-hmm. So it's an exposure for that. And then we hope that that turns into the repeated visits and a love for the Panada.
And it's not only the events, but next year it'll be 100th anniversary. And the finances it takes to get that structure into the next century, you know, it's
overwhelming.
It shows the wears and tears of a 100-year-old building, and that there's finances there as well.
And that building has a lot of potential. Obviously, we're locked land-wise, height-wise. However, we do have the little theater and the main theater. We also have a space at the back where those two could connect. They do not connect at the moment. There are so many opportunities. All of those opportunities require a lot of effort and a lot funding. Of investment.
Yeah,
funding.
There's a big
investment
vision.
Investment has got to take place. We could make this an amazing performing arts center that will take us forwards for the next 100 years. But as it stands at the moment, it will not. If the South Wall keeps falling down, it's not going to last another 20 years because we're going to have water damage inside. We, as Sean has said, we saved that theater in 1985. We're at that point almost again.
Was scary back then.
It was. Yeah. And I think we need to actually be a little bit more realistic. It's scary now. Mm-hmm. The deferred maintenance, the parts of the building that need serious repair are there. This isn't a joke. You just walk down the side of the building and you'll see the plaster falling off. We have a lot to do. We've done a lot. We've repaired roofs, HVAC, everything. We've done a lot that we can do, but that is just scraping the barrel. There is still so much more. If you love the Panada, you love the theatre, you want this to be a space for now and for the future, we've got to step up. And we've got to work together, and we've got to do it in a nice way together so that we all want to reach that common goal. I'm there. I want to do it.
Let's talk about how that would happen, and let's talk a little bit about the Century Fund, which is next year, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Next year will be the 100th anniversary, and the Century Fund would be a big part. I mean, that would be a big help.
Yeah, correct. Well, you know, that was put together by Chris Bessler, who's an amazing asset to the theater, an amazing asset to the town, and just a general great guy, I think. But yeah, those numbers are currently being revised and looked at by the board based on new plans and new ideas for the theater. Charlotte talked about the connecting of the little theater and the main theater, not only through the lobby space, which we have drawings for and are going out to pricing on, drawings by Bowdoin Architecture, but building a building in that vacant space in the back between the two to where we have side stage access to where local community groups that do plays and stuff can slide their sets off to where the Panada can utilize the space when they're dark so that we can reduce costs. So there's a lot of innovative stuff happening. Unfortunately, Ted Turner is no longer alive, so he's not writing us a check. But
he was when I was on the air.
He was still doing it. But, you know, I mean, my dream, I was thinking this the other day, you know, Ted Turner's story. It's like if someone would write us a check for $1 million a year, I'd love to say, hey, all local arts groups can have free rentals at the Panada. But that's not where we're at. So also another thing that's coming up for next year's celebration, just to turn things to show what we're doing too, is the celebration committee is actually every month. We're going to show an Academy Award nominated film starting in January, working our way all the way back to 1927 for the centennial. And then in November for the centennial, we're actually going to show, and I'm blanking on the title of the movie. Jim probably knows it, but the first movie ever shown at the Panada.
I think it was Wings.
To Fly or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, Wings Sky. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so there's a lot of that stuff happening. You know, we're not doom and gloom, we're positive stuff, but we want to take that energy, you know, from the meeting and the passion that I saw in those people, which I love. I love the passion. And I'm a guy that gets excited too. And come, there's committees you can join. We currently have 6 board members, which is a really small board for the Panada. There's board applications people can apply for. Get involved. Get involved and help us save this theater for another 100 years. It's big and it's important. And everybody in town knows that. We met with the mayor of Sandpoint. He talked about the financial aspects of what the theater does to downtown. We're a historic.
So when you have an event, you have restaurants.
Totally.
You have businesses that also reap the benefits of with the lights on being at the Panada.
Yeah, it's a huge driver in the town. And I don't want to see people take it for granted because it's just there. But I feel like that sometimes, you know, and I probably was in that space too before I got on the board. I would just show up for an event and, no, this is cool, not understanding what's happening behind the scenes. So get involved. You'll see a different picture. And, you know, the more hands make light work kind of deal.
And we do encourage people to apply for, as we said, you know, get involved as a volunteer. I think the board has a lot going on at the moment. We really do welcome people for that. But know a little bit about the theatre, have some understanding about how it runs as well. So I think entry level is become a volunteer, come, get involved in the theatre, contact us, come for a tour. I welcome anybody to my email is on the website, email me. I'm happy to meet with anybody, talk to them about the theatre, see what the fit is for them, see how they can work with us and we can work with them.
April 2nd at 5:00 in the Little Theater, the next board meeting. And let's hope that we have the numbers that appeared at the March board meeting.
Correct. Leave the pitchforks and torches at home.
And stay for the whole meeting.
Stay for the whole meeting.
Stay for the meeting.
We talked about a lot of good stuff.
Well, it'll be an interesting meeting for sure on April 2nd. We'll see who turns out for it. We're going to have to basically leave it there because our time draws to a close here. It's 8:57.
8:57. Want to thank both Charlotte and Sean for coming in.
And we want to thank KRFY for the great work you do, giving us the space to come here and talk. And anybody that's out there, please donate it to this organization because they're in the same space we are. Without you guys' support, KRFY does not exist, and it's important for this community.
Definitely.
And we rub your backs and you rub our backs.
Absolutely. It's a mutual back-rubbing festival. It's a love fest.
Okay, coming up at 9:00. Thank you both for coming in. And 9:00 is Bird Note, which we have people who are, if we don't do it, they will bring out their pitchforks.
I'm a Bird Note lover.
A birder. Mm-hmm. I do want to say, mention that there's a No Kings rally this Saturday, March 28th, between 2 and 4. On First Avenue.
Which will be right after the town hall. There will be a town hall and community hall.
You bet.
And then right across the street will be that No Kings rally. The town hall is with State Senator Jim Woodward and State Representative Mark Sauder and will be broadcast live on 88.5 KRFY. So you can tune in if you can't make it in person. To that event, find out what's going on down in Boise. And I don't know if Cornell Razor will be there or not. He may be. He faces a challenger in the primary. So, you know, he might turn up for this one. We'll see. It is pledge drive time coming up today. It's you at 5. Before then, 4:00, tune in for Anna Moss.
She'll be here.
Live in the studio.
Live in the studio. And at 5:00 till 7:00, it will be Scott and Bob and moi.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the phone number is 208-265-2992. And we'd like to hear from you.
And we're going to close out the fun drive with an open house on Sunday with, I just got confirmation from a fourth musician. So it's for Sunday from 1 to 4.
Mick Jagger?
That's right.
Bruce? Uh-huh. The Boss?
All the big names.
Yes. We've got four local musicians coming up to play music. We'll have treats and goodies, and the studio doors will be open. So if you're curious to see what a community radio station looks like, and you haven't been here, that would be a great time to come up and say hello
and put faces to the voices.
Yeah. Gosh, once again, what a good conversation this was. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Charlotte, thank you for having us.
You bet. And we'll see you in April, Jack.
Indeed.
On the Thursday morning show on the 2nd.
Here's Bird Note and then the Grateful Dead with
this
Money
is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.